Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. Yes, and if you are hearing me right now, it is Saturday. It is a beautiful, beautiful Saturday. Whether it be a Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, good morning, good afternoon to all of you, and blessings upon you in Jesus' name. This is the show where the gospel is told and not sold, y'all. This is where we praise the name of Jesus. We bring you forth the word of God on this show, on this network, on this station. In Jesus' name, we give you glory. We give God glory, honor, and praise on today. In Jesus' name, we praise him just for being here on today. In Jesus' name, on today, we are going to be talking about a very, very powerful, powerful topic today. And it is titled, y'all ready for this? You are a winner. You are a winner on today. The Lord gave me this topic from last week, and I know last week we had some technical difficulties, so we weren't able to bring the show last week. So on behalf of our founder and our watchman on the wall for this station, in Jesus' name and for the Spirit Alive Network, we apologize in Jesus' name, but we are happy to be here on today, on this beautiful Saturday. Today we are talking about you are a winner. We are talking about being a winner on today. It does not matter what you're going through. It does not matter what you're faced with. You are a winner on today. Why? Not because of anything you are doing, but because of the power of God that rests, rules, and abides on the inside of us and rests, rules, and abides on our lives. We are winners. It does not matter because God already seen and God already knows what you're going through even before you go through it. That's why you're a winner. That's why I'm a winner. That's why we are winners today, because at the end of it, we're going to become winners. If we stay fast to the will of God, we will win. It's a win-win situation. It's a win-win situation. I remember, I think about a week or two ago, one of the churches that my church, Triumph in Faith Church Fellowships with, one of those churches lost a member of their church, Victory Tabernacle. Continued to pray for them in their time of loss. But the person that passed away, Sister Pepper, she began to say before she passed, before she went on to be with the Lord, she said it's a win-win. It's a win-win. Whether the Lord healed her or whether the Lord took her on home, it's a win-win situation. And you right now are in a win-win situation. Right now you might be going through something that seems so major that there seems like there's no way out. But guess what? You're a winner today. You're a winner today. Does not matter what the devil might bring. It doesn't matter what man might bring. It doesn't matter what the test results say. Doesn't matter what the doctor says. You might have got a bad report this week from the doctor, but you're a winner today. You're a winner. You might be saying, well, Minister Adam, why are you saying I'm a winner and I'm going through? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you got God on the inside of you, you have already won the battle. It does not matter what the devil. The Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. So he said he comes as a roaring lion. Amen. That verse right there that says he comes as a roaring lion, it didn't say he was a roaring lion. He said he comes as a roaring lion. That A-S tells us something. He's an imposter. He doesn't have the ability to be a roaring lion. He comes as a roaring lion. See, that one, that word, that small word, that two-letter word brings a lot of power to us. It brings a lot of power to our side and make us winners because it says he comes as a roaring lion. But we know Jesus has all power. He said he has all power in his hands. There's nothing that he does not know about you, about me, about anybody, that he can't work the problem out. There's nothing that he cannot do. The Bible says, with him all things are possible. With him all things are possible. Without him, nothing is possible, but with him all things are possible. So you're a winner today. Amen. So as we look at this on today, and I'm gonna get the disclaimer out there before we jump into this. If you have any questions, any comments, any concerns, if you want to just tell your testimony on the show today, you could do that too. You could call in. You can send your message through the message board, and Bishop Cook will get it to me, and we'll say it over here. Now, I will say this: if you want to remain anonymous, please put anonymous. If you have a prayer request, if you have an unspoken prayer request, please leave it as unspoken, and we will pray over it on today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to go to our first scripture in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. And it says, now, the title of this topic is, You Are a Winner. When you think of winner, you think of a prize at the end. You think of, hey, I've done something great. I've accomplished something. Amen. When you think of a winner, you think of somebody that has done something that nobody else can do. You might say, well, many people go through many tests, so it's not something that nobody else can do. Well, guess what? That is actually true, but not true. When you think about it, yes, there might be people that go through the same test you go through, but there is something added on to that that is relevant, and that is nobody can go through that test like you can. There's only one of you. Amen. God wouldn't have laid that test on you or that problem on you if he knew that you could not bear it. The Bible says he would not put more on us than what we can bear. Nobody goes through a problem. Nobody goes through an issue that God knows that you can't go through. You have been equipped to go through it. You have been equipped to go through the process of it. You've been equipped to go through the beginning, the middle, and get to the end of it. You are a winner. Well, how? You might say, well, Minister Adam, I've been struggling so much, and I've been through the fire. I've been through the test. I've been through. It does not matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What do you mean it doesn't matter? I've tried this and I've tried that and all of this stuff. My children are acting up over here and I got this problem going on over here. So how can you say it doesn't matter? Well, guess what? It doesn't matter because the Lord is on your side. Yeah, look, my pastor said something And he says this a lot. I would rather go through a problem with Jesus on my side than to go through a problem without him on my side. Because there is absolute, you'll have absolute failure if you don't have him on your side. Every issue, every problem, you'll have absolute failure without him. But with him, you might go through, you might go through the test, and that test might seem big sometimes. And you might seem like there's no way. You might feel like the children of Israel going through the wilderness for 40 years. But guess what? At the end of it all, you come out the winner with Jesus on your side. I used this poem as an example when I believe it was a couple shows back. The poem Footprints. When you go through an issue and when you go through a problem, you might say you might be praying to God and say, "Well, God, do you hear me? Do you understand what I'm going through? It seems like you're not hearing me because you're not answering my prayer when I want you to." Well, it's just like that poem Footprints. When we go through life, we see two sets of footprints. When we got everything going our way, we see two sets of footprints. We see me and the Lord, you and the Lord, just going through this journey called life. And then when the storms start raging, you see one set of footprints, and you start asking God, "Well, God, did you hear my prayer? Did you hear this? Did you hear that?" And it seemed like God's not answering. And you only see one set of footprints. In your spiritual mind, you only see one set of footprints, and you're like, "Wait a minute, God, I know you said in your word that you would never leave me, that you would never forsake me. And why aren't you hearing me?" But God gives you an answer and says, the footprints that you saw, when you've come out of the test, he tells you, those one set of footprints that you saw were my footprints. I was carrying you through the storm. I was carrying you. Don't want your footprints, because I knew that you couldn't make it through without me. I had to carry you. And that's what the Father does for us. I remember my father, he talks about it a lot, that when I was a baby, as everybody that knows me knows that I was diagnosed with congestive heart failure as a child. I was born with this congestive heart failure disease, and I had open heart surgery. And during this open heart surgery, I died on the operating table. And those doctors came in there and told my dad, "You know, it's over. It's over. There's nothing else we can do for him." And my dad said that when he heard that report, he fell to his knees and began to pray. And during that prayer, the Lord heard him and brought me back. He restarted my heart, and the doctors came running out and ran to my father and said, "His heart is starting back up. His heart has started back up." And the doctors that were operating on me came out and said, "Mr. Tuggle," talking to my dad. And they were saying, "Mr. Tuggle, we got his heart started up," and their chest was all out and everything. Like, they did it. They did it. And my dad had to tell them, "You know, I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for your expertise. I thank you for helping him. But you didn't start his heart. God did that. I was given a 10% chance to live at birth. 10% chance. You can't tell me that God is not a healer. You can't tell me that I'm not a winner. I was given a 10% chance to live at birth. If they said that if I had lived, that I would not live past my first birthday. And if I did live past my first birthday, I would not live to see 18. Well, guess what? I'm 33 years old, getting ready to be 34 this year. I say that as a testimony to anybody that's going through. And I know this is a testimony of healing, but God can bring healing in the midst of your storm. My former pastor preached a sermon one time. It was entitled, Master, Still the Storm. We have to let the master still the storm today. Amen. I haven't even gotten to a scripture. I'm sorry. I'm being led by the Lord here. We have to let the master still the storm. Amen. In every single thing that we go through, we have to let the master still the storm on today. Let's read Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. Amen. And there's a lot in this verse that we read in here that we get golden spiritual nuggets out of. But there's a part in here that I just want to focus on, and it reads in its entirety. It reads, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance have it happeneth to them all." Now, in this verse, I want to focus on, and like I said, we get a lot out of this verse, but there's one part in there that I want to focus on, and that is that the race is not given to the swift, or the battle to the strong. That's where I want to focus at. The race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. In a race, you have to, in a natural race, you have to have something called what? Endurance. You have to pace yourself in a race, especially when you're running track or something like that. Because I've ran track before. One of my older brothers, he's ran track. Well, two of my older brothers have ran track. And I learned from them that you have to pace yourself when you're running. Well, even in this spiritual race that we're in, we have to pace ourselves. We have to pace ourselves when we go through. When we go through the battle, we have to pace ourselves in the midst of the storms. We have to pace ourselves in our walk with Christ. We have to pace ourselves. How do we pace ourselves? We pace ourselves through prayer, fasting. We pace ourselves through reading the Word of God, learning about His statutes in Him. We learn about the standards of God to learn how to pace ourselves in Him. We learn how to plead the blood of Jesus over ourselves. That's pacing yourself. When you get into a place where you're going through with a person, and maybe it might be something minute to some people, but it might be big to many. Maybe somebody cut you off on the freeway. You got to pace yourself. Your flesh might want to rise up and argue with them, but you got to pace yourself. You got to plead the blood of Jesus over yourself sometimes. Sometimes you got to bring your flesh up under subjection to the Holy Ghost. And I'm not talking about skin and bone when I say the flesh. I mean your spiritual mind itself. When your flesh want to rise up and tell off that person on the job. Mm-hmm. That when you want to tell them off, when that manager riding you, telling you, you got to do this and you got to do that, and you know you trying to fight to do your job. I'm speaking to somebody today. You doing your job. And you know you're doing your job, and you're doing the best job you can do. But the boss riding you, the manager, the assistant manager riding you, you better plead the blood of Jesus over yourself and pray for that individual. Ain't no time to go off. Ain't no time to act unseemly. But it's a time to rejoice in the midst of your test. That makes you a winner. Why? You might say, well, some people might say, well, no, if that boss goes off on me, I need to go back off on them because that makes me a punk. No, that don't make you no punk because you ain't go off on them. That don't make you no punk. That makes you wise. That makes you wise. You want to be wise? Learn how to fight. Our battles that we have in this life, we fight our battles differently. See, we have to have a strategy in this. That's called pacing yourself. When you run in this race, you have to have a strategy to becoming a winner. You have to have a strategy. You can't just go. Look, it's just like a normal race. You can't just run. You can't just do a 40K or a 4K run, a 4 mile run, and thinking that you ain't worked out, you ain't trained, you ain't exercised, and you think you're gonna run out there and do a 40K? No, you gotta train for that. There are people that do that for a living. There are people that do that during the summertime. We got people here in Indianapolis that run marathons sometimes. And they train for months, sometimes years. It's just like a person trying out for the Olympics. You can't get into the Olympics just by one day you just up, you were asleep and just woke up one day and said, oh, I'm gonna go and get into the Olympics. You ain't trained. You ain't done none of that. But you thinking that you're going to go into the Olympics. Uh-uh. You ain't going to do that. You can't do that. You got to train. You got to get your body together. You got to get your mind together for that. That's the same thing with our walk with Christ. We have to get our spiritual psyche together. We have to get our spiritual bodies together. We got to get our natural bodies together for this spiritual journey. You might say, well, why do I got to get my natural body together? It's just praying. It's just fasting. It's just because if you wear your, look, I have seen preachers. I have seen not just preachers. I mean usher workers, the lowest of the lows, work in the church and tire themselves out physically. They don't take no vacations. Only thing they do is just work themselves. They work in a job. They work in the church. They working over here. They got a family over here. You need to take out time for yourself. That makes you a winner. Well, how does that make me a winner? Because when you get rested up, I've experienced this. I took a trip. And a lot of times you hear me say this, but you hear me say, talking about me going to California. I love California. That's my second home. That's my home away from home, y'all. But I took a trip in 2010 to California, and I stayed there for like, I think it was 2 weeks. And this is before I got married and before I had children. I was, you know, living by myself. So I took a little vacation on my own and went down there to see some family. And during the time that I was there, I had already stayed a week. And I felt rested because I was going – I had not – look, before that vacation, I had not had a vacation in 10 years. Do you hear me? I had not had a vacation in 10 years. And – I was tiring myself out because I kept going and going and going and going, working in the church, working a job. And I didn't have any kids then. I didn't have a wife then, but I was still working. And I kept myself, motivated in the church and working a job and doing the things that, you know, doing the things that ministry, going here, going there. When I wasn't working on a job, I was volunteering at a hospital, praying for folks, you know, stuff like that. So I had three different things that I was doing at one time. And those things get tiring. Things get tiring. Sometimes you just want to lay back and relax. And I said all that to say this, but when I got to California and I rested up a while, my pastor, my former pastor, she called me and said, Adam, are you having fun down there? You having fun over there in California? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, and this is what I said a couple weeks ago. I said, watch what you say to God. And I didn't say it that way, but I'm paraphrasing it. Watch what you say to God and watch the vows you make. And watch what you say to the to people, because you might make a vow to them and the people hold you to that. Amen? I told my pastor, I said, Mother, I'm rested. Yeah, Mother, I'm rested and I'm ready to work. Bad move. Because when I got home, when I came back to Indianapolis, she worked me. She said, oh, you are. Yes, ma'am, I'm ready to work. I'm ready to put the devil to flight. I'm ready to kill me a devil. And when I got home, when I made it to church that first Sunday, when I got back, oh boy. Boy, I was working. I was working, y'all. But that's it. I was well rested for the journey. And it made me a winner. Why? Because I was able to expand the kingdom of God by what I was doing. Now, I wouldn't have been able to expand the kingdom of God by what I was doing if I wasn't rested physically. If you going here, going there, and we got a good example. We got a lot of great examples. I got a lot of great examples in my life of people just going and going and going. My mother, my father, my former pastor used to do it. My brother and his wife do it. And Bishop Cook, she does it. I mean, I got a lot of great examples of people just going and going and going. And sometimes I know of a sister of a church that we fellowship with, and she's a dynamic evangelist. Oh my God, Sister Tria Booth, dynamic preacher, dynamic woman of God. And I tease her when I see her. I said, "Have you took a vacation yet?" Because every time I see her, she's always working. She's always doing something. And if she's not working her job, she's doing something for her church, and she's doing something for the ministry, or she's preaching somewhere, or whatever it might be. And I tease her every time I see her, and I just saw her a couple weeks ago, and I said, have you took your vacation yet? I said, the next time I see you, you better take a vacation, because this woman will work. And she said, yeah, I'll take my vacation in July. I said, good, and don't do nothing. When you take your vacation, don't do anything. Don't you try to work. And because me and her, we tease each other. When she see me, she like, you done took your vacation already? Yep, sure have. The last time I saw her before that, I hadn't had a vacation. And she was like, have you taken your vacation? No, not yet. I'm getting ready to. She said, you better take your vacation. Okay. Next time she saw me, did you take your vacation? Yep, sure did. Did you take yours? Nope. I'm still waiting. You better take yours. Don't you tire yourself out. And we encourage each other that way. Amen. But what I'm going to get deeper into this. We as people can be our own enemy in being a winner. We can deny ourselves the winner's circle by being our own enemy. How do we do that? Let's go to Galatians 5:7. And we're getting ready to read this. And I know I haven't read much scripture today, but I'm just doing what the will of God is telling me to do. But let's go to Galatians 5:7, and let's see what the Lord has to say there. Okay. this is how we as people can be our own enemy, okay? Galatians 5 and 7 says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? When God tells us that everything is going to be all right, if you follow this way, you'll be all right. And we go off veering to the left because we don't like the way the Lord tells us to take, or this way seems too long. Do you know we become our own worst enemy to get into the winner's circle of us becoming a winner? When we do that, when we go our own way, when we do not obey the truth. Now, the Bible says the truth shall set us free. Any time that God says or commands us to do something, don't you know that that is true? Why? How do I know that that's true? Because he said his word doesn't lie. Anything that comes from God's mouth is true. He can't lie. So if he tells us that this way, go left, then we're doing right. We're doing right by going left. We're following the will of God. We're following the truth of God. But if we see that the Lord says go left, and we see that the grass is a little bit brown on that side and we want to go right because the grass seems greener on the right side, just because the grass looks a little bit brown on that side does not mean that it's the wrong side. But when we don't obey truth, we become our own worst enemy of getting to the winner's circle, of getting to the prize that God has for us. Sometimes we need to step out of the way and let God do what he do and just follow him. We need to follow God. And I said this before. The reason why we should follow God in everything that we do is because he knows us better than we know ourselves. We know, we might think that we know better because this is our life and we live in it and we living it up and whatever. I know Cosby show, I think it was Rudy. The girl that played Rudy, she was talking about taking medicine, and Dr. Huxley was telling her to take her medicine, and she was like, I'm all better now. I'm all better now. He was like, well, have you taken your medicine yet? No. Well, how do you know that you're better? And she said, I know my body. He just looked at her. And we think we know ourselves. We think we know our bodies because we've lived in this life. We think we know better than God when God is the creator of us. We don't know what life might hold for us. That's why we need to follow the plan and the salvation of God. Because we don't know what tomorrow might hold. Tomorrow's not even promised to us. Life, look, let me share something with you. And this is not in my notes, but I'm going to give you a little spiritual nugget here. Life itself is like a vapor. It appears for a little while and it vanishes away. The Bible says that. Life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. And as many people as we have seen last year, this year, and years past, even before COVID, we done seen a lot of people leave this earth. And it ain't just because of COVID. I remember last year, the beginning of last year, that like the first week of January or the second week of January, I don't know, somewhere in there, the Lord woke me up. My wife was getting ready for work, and I sat up out of my sleep, it was like the Lord just woke me up out of my sleep, and I sat up. And my wife looked at me. She said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Oh, Lord." I said, "Oh, my God." She said, "What's wrong?" I said, the Lord just spoke to me. And he said, "There's going to be a lot of deaths this year." And she looked. She said, "No." She said, "Baby, you had a bad dream. Just going back to sleep or whatever, you know." And I'm like, no. And that week later, Kobe Bryant passed away. And then there was a race car driver that passed, and then COVID happened. And so I said that to say this. Life is like a vapor. You don't know what you're going to face. And for you to make it as a winner, it is better for you to have life in your life. And when I say life, I mean Jesus. It's better for you to have Jesus in your life than to not have him at all. Because when you go out the door, when you go outside, when you go to your job, when you go to your day-to-day activities, when you don't have God in your life, you are not in the winner's circle. You're not a winner. You might think you are, and I'm just being blunt about it. You might think you are because you're living it up and partying it up and doing whatever, but you're not. You're really not a winner. You're the walking dead. That's what you are. You're a walking dead person. Why am I a walking dead person? Because when you live in it, when a person lives their life in sin, sin kills. The way the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death. Sin has to have sin. With sin comes a down payment. The down payment is death. Sin leads to death. Sin leads to destruction. That's why the Bible says Satan comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. He uses sin as the key to destroy you. He comes to steal. He steals the joy from us. He steals whatever he can from us. Then he kills us, not just naturally, but spiritually. And then it sets us up for our demise. Sin kills. Sin, they say that heart disease and all these other diseases out there are the number one killer of people. No, I'm here to tell you, sin is the number one killer of people. Sin. And when you got sin in your life, I don't care if you, and I'm talking to anybody, I'm going to say it like my former pastor used to say, I'm talking to who I'm talking to. I don't care if you a preacher or the sinner man. I don't care if you in the church or out of the church. If you got sin in your life, expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. What do you mean expect the unexpected? Expect this. Expect the unexpected. You don't know what's going to happen throughout your day. You don't know if you're going to make it back home. The day and age that we are living in today, well, you might walk out the door and may not make it back. There are people that have, and I'm not talking about backsliding. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about naturally walking out your door and you making it back home. There's no guarantee. This for a saved person and an unsaved person. That's for both. There is no guarantee you don't have a monopoly on life. You can't start. Life is not, and I tell my kids this sometimes. Life is not a video game. You can't start over. Once you're gone, you're gone. And look, I'm about to go deeper than that. Once you leave this world, like I said earlier, the sister that said it's a win-win. The reason why she could say it's a win-win situation, because if God healed her, she won. And God takes her out of here, she wins. Why is it a win-win situation? Because if God heals her, she can have a testimony that she's been healed. If God takes her home, she has a she can dance in glory because she had her life right, because her life was right. She was a winner. It was a win-win situation. That's why people can say, that's why people can say, it's a win-win situation. When you got God in your life, you are a winner. But you can be your own worst enemy. Step out of God's way and let him lead you. Now, if we hold on to the Lord until the end, we will receive the blessings from the Lord. Let's go to James 1 and 12. And see what that, let's see what that says. James 1 and 12. Let's see. I'm enjoying this. This is bringing me life today, y'all. This is bringing me life. I really, really appreciate this time with everybody. I appreciate it. James 1 and 12 says, Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. This is what, if we hold on to the end, we will receive the blessings from the Lord. This is what he's talking about. If we hold on to the very end, we will see heaven. Not only, and if we just hold on, even when we go through our tests and our trials, when we go through tests and trials, if we hold on through that test and that trial, we will receive the blessings of the Lord. We will receive the blessings from the Lord. We have no other choice but to be blessed. We have no other choice but to be blessed. David talked about the blessings of God in the book of Psalms. He talked about it. He encouraged himself when he went through the test. He encouraged himself in Psalms. That's why praise is relevant. That's why praise is relevant. You are a winner when you can praise God going through your test. You might say, well, how am I winning when I'm, because I can praise God going through my test. Sometimes it's hard to praise God going through a test. I understand. But sometimes we got to get that untapped. I know we talked about untapped faith on a couple weeks ago, but we got to get an untapped praise, y'all. We got to get the sacrificial praise. We got to do an unexpected praise. If you want different results in your life whatever situation it might be, you got to do something unexpected. You want unexpected results, you do unexpected stuff. You do unexpected. And what I mean by unexpected, it's not unexpected to God that you praise him. It's unexpected to the devil. It's unexpected to the devil because when you give unexpected praise, unexpected praise brings unexpected results, brings unexpected blessings. I'm going to say it again. Unexpected praise brings unexpected results, brings unexpected blessings. When you are able to praise him, going through the midst of your trials, going through the midst of your losses, going through the midst of whatever it is you're going through, I ain't even going to say it does two things. It does a multitude of things. It increases your faith in God, number one. Number two, it confuses the enemy. Number three, it brings unexpected blessings. You might say, well, how does it increase my faith? When you praise God, the songwriter says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. Well, When your soul cries out, hallelujah, what does it do? It's praising God. The Bible says he dwells in the midst of what? Praises. You now have moved God to bless you. Now, how does it, that increases your faith because you're thinking about what he has done for you. That songwriter said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, you're increasing your faith. You increase your faith by thinking of the goodness of Jesus, and you now know in your psyche or in your mind, whatever way you want to say it, that, hey, if God brought me through this, he can bring me through that. If he can bring me through that back then, he can bring me through this now. That increases your faith. Boom, you have now increased your faith. How does it confuse the enemy? Well, let me show you. When you praise God, when you give God an unexpected sacrifice of praise, it confuses the enemy because the enemy tries to bring tests and trials upon us all the time, okay? He tries to bring tests. He tries to bring tests. He tries to bring tests to bring us down. He tries to bring tests to steal our joy. He tries to bring tests to do whatever he can to destroy whatever God has placed in our life. But when you give God the praise through your tests, through your problems, through your heartache, through your pain, through it all, through your loss, through people coming at you. Job did it. If you can praise God without, when people are looking at you with like, hey, wait a minute, you go, and some people will know what you go through, and they looking at you like you crazy, like why are you still praising him and you going through this and you going through that, your child over here lost and you going through this, but you still praising God, what is wrong with you? They look at you like you crazy, but God ain't. The devil might be looking at you crazy, but God's not. The reason why it confuses the enemy because the enemy says, well, wait a minute, I thought I had him. I thought I had her, but he's still praising God. She's still giving God the praise. She's still over there shouting. She ain't even shouting at church. She's shouting in her house. He's shouting in his house. And then when he go to church, he give him more praise. I thought I had him here. Well, let me try over here. Oh, nope, they still giving God the praise. Wait a minute. What's going on? And that confuses the enemy. It confuses the enemy. It messes up his strategy when you praise God because he don't know where to attack you at. It confuses the enemy. And how does it bring more blessings? I just said it earlier. He dwells in the midst of what? Praises. It moves God, and it makes God want to move for you even faster. He loves to be praised. He loves to be worshipped. Oh, my son is praising me. My daughter is giving me the glory, even though she's going through, even though he's going through. I'm still getting praised. Oh, yeah, you know what? I'm going to bless him. I'm going to bless her. They're going through a disease, and they still giving me the praise. What? I ain't got no choice but to bless them. That's my child. I'm going to put my hedge of protection around them. I'm going to tell the devil to back up off of them now. It's over. I'm pleased. You back up, devil. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will do what? Lift up a what? A standard against him. He'll put his standard in front of the enemy when you give God your best. And it will put you, when you do all that, when you give God a sacrificial praise, it puts you as a winner. Why? Because it puts you in the winner's circle with God. God places you. He takes you. He lifts you up, just like that poem, Footprints. He picks you up, and he carries you to the winner's circle. He carries you. He makes sure that you get there. Amen? Amen? There is nothing in this world, there is nothing in this world that can take you over. There is nothing spiritually that can take you over. There is nothing naturally that can take you over. Nothing that can take you over unless you allow it to. With God, nothing can take you over that Satan brings or that man brings. Disease might try to come at you. It can't take you over. Why? Because you got the greater on the inside of you. I said it before, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. How do we become winners in the middle of our test? Watch this. I'm going to show you. Let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. I'm about to show you how to become a winner in the middle of your test. In the middle of your test. We just gave an example of praise, but watch this. Watch this. Let's go to Philippians. Philippians 3 and 13 and 14. Let's go there right now. Let's go there. Philippians 3, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Okay? This is how we become winners in the middle of our test. And it reads, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, that sacrificial praise is right there on verse 14. That one word, those two words, I press. We got to press toward. We got to press. When you praise him when you don't feel like it, that's a press. We back in church now, so I'm gonna go here. When you don't feel like making it out to the house of God, look, I'm gonna tell you something. Your blessing is right there in the house of God. You press your way to church. I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna give you this testimony. There was times in my life, even now, at the age that I am now, there were times in my life that I don't feel like going. I did not feel. You might say, well, Minister Adam, you didn't feel like going to church? Yeah, my body was tired. Yes. I'm going to be honest with you, yes. Minister Adam, I know that you love going to church. I love going to church, but sometimes my body said lay down and go to bed. But I pressed my way. And there was healing waiting for me. There was joy. There wasn't just Bible class waiting for me. There wasn't just the word of God waiting for me. There wasn't just praise. There was healing waiting for me. There was joy waiting for me. There was everything I could want. It's in the house of God. I remember one of the sisters that went to my former church. She used to say, we're in the overflow. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. We're in the overflow. But you can only get, when you get into the overflowing God, you're a winner. You are a winner when you get into the overflow in God. Get into the overflow. You might say, well, what is the overflow? The overflow of the anointing of God, the overflow of the word of God, the overflow in the fasting of God, the overflow in the prayer in God, praying to him, seeking his face. In the book of Matthew, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added, what, unto you. But you got to seek him first. You got to press. You got to make, you look, you can't go in school. I tell my boys this all the time. Your teacher is not going to just give you A's if you're not trying. If you don't try, like I told my oldest son this a while back. I was at a parent-teacher conference, and I told my oldest son during that parent-teacher conference, he said, well, I have trouble reading. And I said, okay. And I asked his teacher, why is he having trouble reading? And at that time, she said, well, he won't try. I looked at him. I said, well, JoJo, why don't you try, son? Why don't you try? He said, well, it's too hard. And I said this, and I told him this. I said, look, what's so hard about it? He said, well, I'm afraid I'm going to get it wrong. I said, you don't need to be afraid of the work. And he looked at me like, why? Why should I be afraid? Because those are just words on a paper. Them words ain't going to attack you. Them words are not going to attack you. They might make you, when you read it, you might stumble a little bit, but try. That's all the Lord wants from us. He wants us to try. Just try. Just try. If you try, just try. That's all I want from you. I want your very best. Bring me your best. That's what I tell my kids. Bring me your best. If you give your best, if I know within me that you've given your best, I'm not going to harp on you. If you give me your best in school and you try and you get B's and C's, that's fine. But if you ain't trying and you make D's and F's and you ain't tried, I can see if you tried and you making a D, I can see if you trying your best and you going to tutoring and doing all this stuff that you can know to do, then I'm going to try to seek. As me being your father, I'm gonna do all I can to help you. Your teacher gonna do all she can to help you. Your teacher gonna do all he can to help you. Your principal gonna do all he can to help you. That's the same thing with God. That's the same thing with God. If you giving your very best to him, he's gonna do all he can to make sure that you win. He's gonna make sure that you, as long as you press, as long as you try. We got examples in the Bible where people, where men and women of God have tried Jesus. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. You got to try. We got to taste and see. I remember back when I was a little boy, I used to tell my great-grandmother, when she would try to get me to try new things, I say, I don't like it. Ain't never tried it before. And my grandmother used to say, well, how do you know if you like it if you ain't tried it? How do you know? And I just give her a dumb look. I give her a dumb, I would look so dumb like a deer in headlights. Because I didn't have an answer. Because I'd be like, well, how do I know? I ain't got no answer for that because I ain't tried it, so I don't know what it tastes like. Yeah, Grandma, I don't know. I'm going to need you to try this to see if you like it. Then say if you don't like it, then say you don't like it. Don't say you don't like it, you didn't ever tried it. That's for people. That's for unsaved folk, too. If you ain't tried Jesus and you trying everything else but Jesus, try him. Try him. You can't say that Jesus, that the Lord's not good if you ain't never tried it. The Bible clearly states, oh, taste and see. He said, see, just see. Taste of me. Learn of me. Study of me. And see if I'm not good. Try me. Prove me. Try me. I dare you to try me. That's what the Lord is saying to us, even the saints. I ain't just talking about sinners and backsliders, I'm talking about saints. You got a situation right now that's going on in your life, and you sitting over there, well, Lord, I don't know if I can trust you on this one. I trust you on everything else, but I don't know if I can trust you on this one. Let me try him. I've heard of people saying you a lawyer in the courtroom, but I ain't never seen you be a lawyer in the courtroom for me because I ain't never been to court before. I don't know. Try him. I dare you. I double dog dare you. That's two dogs, too. I double dog dare you to try him. Try him. Try Jesus. For the sinner man that's trying to look for a way out, the way out of your problems, Try Jesus. You tried this. You done tried that. You done tried this life. You done tried that life. Oh, come on here. I had somebody say on my job that they were born a certain way. And I'm not going to go into deep detail, but I heard that, and I didn't say this specifically to them, but I thought about it, and I've heard other people say this of and it's not to bash anybody, but I had a friend one time who lives a lifestyle of homosexuality. They were like, "Well, God made me this way." And I said, "Well, how do you know that God made you that way?" And he said, "Well, it's just my emotions. I can't control them." I said, "Okay, look, I said that God didn't make you that way, first of all, because God don't make no mistakes. If God wanted you to be with who you with, God would have done it in the very beginning. But let's just say that you're right, okay? Let's just say that, because we were all born in shaping in iniquity. Now, that part you can say. We were all born in shaping in iniquity. We were all born in sin. So, technically, you were born that way. You were born in sin. You were not born in homosexuality. Now, I'm not getting on here saying that the people that are in homosexuality that they are born that way, because they're not. It's a spirit. Now, I don't mean to go here because we're talking about being a winner today, but I'm finna go here. Those that are born in sin, you were born that way. But God gave a remedy. When he told Nicodemus that you must be born, if you were born that way, you got to be born again of the water and the spirit. You had your natural birth. Now you got to take on the spiritual birth. You gotta repent. You gotta go down in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Remission means removal. You gotta go down in that name. Not in titles. You might say, "What do you mean in titles?" In the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Bible didn't say that. The Bible never said to go down in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Preachers that preach that, they wrong. And any preacher that says that, and if they want to challenge it, come on. You can't find anybody in the Word of God that was baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, you might say, "Well, nobody was baptized in Jesus' name either." Yes, they were. Acts 2 and 38, all through the book of Acts, you can find people that was baptized in Jesus' name. They were baptized either in the name of the Lord Jesus or they were baptized in Jesus' name. But you cannot find one soul that was baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Not one. Matthew 28:19 is leading up. That is the Great Commission. That's the Great Commission. Commission in military term means command. That is the great command of God that we baptize. Who is the Father? It's Jesus. Who's the Son? It's Jesus. Who is the Holy Ghost? It's Jesus. He said, I believe it's John 10 and 30. He said, "I and my Father are one." He said, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Amen. That takes care of the Father, the Son. She shall bring in Matthew, I believe it's Matthew 12 and 1 or 1 and 12. It says, "For she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name what? Jesus." That takes care of the Son. He said about the Holy Ghost, he said he shall bring the Holy Ghost in what? My name. Jesus was talking about the Holy Ghost, and he was saying that the Holy Ghost shall come in his name. So that takes care of the Holy Ghost. That takes care of the Holy Ghost. There was nobody Nobody in the Bible was baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There were people baptized underneath John's baptism. And he baptized them by water. But he said, there's one that comes after me that will baptize you with fire. And he was talking about the Holy Ghost. Amen. I didn't mean to go there, y'all. I'm sorry. Sorry, y'all. But we know that in the middle of our test, how to become winners. And it told us in Philippians 3, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Now, we have to remind ourselves that everything we go through, God knows before you, and he knows you can make it. Now, how do we know that? There are two scriptures that the Lord gave to me that we know that we have, that God knows before we do. In these two scriptures, we're going to read them real quick. And let's just look at them. Let's go to Romans 8 and 28. Very familiar passage of scripture. Very familiar. Let's go to Romans 8 and 28. Romans 8 and 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Everything that you go through is in God's purpose. It's in God's plan. What I mean by it's in God's purpose, it's in God's plan, I mean it like this. It did not catch God unaware. God knew that you were going to go through it before you went through it. I've said this on the show before. God has moved through our life two times. He goes through our life. Number one, the first time he goes through your life, and this is just an example, it's not scripture, okay? This is my own personal opinion. He goes through our life twice. The first time he goes through our life, he goes through our life fixing our life. Every corner, every nook, every cranny of our life, he knows about us. He knows every corner that we're going to take. He knows every left turn we're going to take. He knows every right turn we're going to take. He knows every narrow path we're going to take. Because he created us. He created our life. He knows our ending from our beginning. He knows the beginning, middle, and end of our life. He knows where we're going to spend eternity. He already knows it. Amen. Then he goes through our life with us. That's the second time he goes through. He walks through our life with us. He walks through our life with us. It goes back to that poem, Footprints. He walks through our life. He knows when to carry us through because he designed our life. He knew what storm you could be able to handle walking with him. But he also knew what storm he would have to pick you up and carry you through. Amen. He knew. That's why you're a winner. That's why I said, without God, nothing is possible, but with God, all things are possible. I praise God that my aunt on last Sunday, she received the Holy Ghost on last Sunday. And on top of that, she got her healing, the healing that she was looking for. I praise God on the Sunday before that. I praise God that been walking with God a long time. I've been walking with God a long time. And for the first time ever since my stroke, since the two strokes that I had when I was 5 years old, I have not been able to stretch out my arm without having any pain in it for years and stretch out my leg without having any pain in my leg, in my right, on my right side. I haven't been able to stretch it out, haven't been able to move as well as I would like to for years. And on the Sunday before last, I got my healing. I'm able to move my arms better than I've ever had before. I'm able to move my leg. I'm able to dance better and all that, leap better. And God is continually healing me. But he knew about it before we went through it. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, because we're going low on time here. I want to get through this because we got four more scriptures that I want to get through before the time ends. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is the second scripture that the Lord gave to me to let us know, to remind ourselves that everything we go through, God knows about. Amen. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. And it reads as such: there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. That's why I said we're winners. We're winners today because God says it right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He tells us there is no temptation common to man that he has not made a way of escape. And he is faithful. He keeps his word. He keeps his promises to us. Amen. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able? He won't let you be tempted above than what you can bear. He won't let you go through something that you ain't able to bear. That's just like a teacher giving you a test that you ain't ready for, or sending you to the next grade that teacher ain't prepared you for. Makes sense, don't it? Amen. Now, we must have faith in God that if we stand under God's hand, we will be safe. Let's go to Psalms 91. Let's go to Psalms 91. Let's go there real quick. Psalms 91. I love it. This is where I was talking about David. David encouraged himself in the book of Psalms. He went through. David went through, y'all. Some of it on his own will, he sent himself through, and some things he didn't bring on himself. Amen. But David went through. Let's go to Psalms 91, verses 1 through 7. And this is another reason why we're winners, y'all. This is another reason why how you can become a winner. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. A thousand shall, thank you, Jesus, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. This is how we know that we are winners. God said it at the very beginning. He that dwelleth in the secret place, you got to get into that secret place. You got to get in line with him. That secret place of who? The Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He's Almighty. You're going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That means being under the blood. The devil can't come under the blood. The devil cannot come underneath the blood of Jesus. As long as you stand under the blood, as long as you stand under the blood, he said, I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. He is your refuge and your fortress. Amen. He's all that in a bag of chips. He's all that in a bag of chips. There's nothing that he cannot do.
Come on.
Wait a minute. Hold on. There is two things that God can't do. And you might say, what? There's two things that God can't do. I thought he could do all things. Yeah, he can do all things, but there's two things that he can't do. He can't lie and he can't fail.
Can't fail. Hallelujah.
He can't lie and he can't fail. Those are two things that he will never do. As long as time goes on and eternity goes on, there's two things that those are the two things that he will never ever do. Lie and fail. He said, before any tittle of his word become void, heaven and earth will pass away. Before his word becomes lie, is made a lie. He can't lie and he can't fail. We must remember, and this is the last three verses here, we must remember the Lord told us that we would go through, but we would be winners if we hold fast to the Lord. He didn't say that once we become saved and once we get in a relationship with him that we wouldn't go through problems. He never said that. He never said that we wouldn't go through problems. Let's go to, real quick, because we're short on time here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, real quick. I'm about to go there real quick so we can, we're going to bring this lesson all home now. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. Let's read that real quick. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. That means every person that does not like what you stand for. That means everything. That means demons too, devils too, people too, friends too, family too, whoever don't like what you stand for in God. You're not going through it for your sake. You're going through it for the sake of God. But guess what? When you go through with him, he'll bless you because you'll be saved. He'll protect you. He'll shield you. We read in Psalms 91 that he shall be our buckler. Uh-huh. He's our refuge. He's our fortress. That's being our fortress. That's being our refuge. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 real quick. Amen. We're bringing this lesson on around here now. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews. Let's go there real quick, and let's see what the Lord has to say in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us hold fast the perfection of our faith without wavering. That means you have no doubt in what God can do. If he said it, he's going to do it. If he said that you're a winner, you're a winner. Whatever the devil said about you, whatever man has said about you, get it out your mind. Get it out your mind. If it goes against the will of God for your life, get it out your mind. Get it out. Think on it. But think on these things. The Bible says think on these things that are what? Of a good report. That are pure, that are just. Amen? Think on those things. Amen. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. 2 Timothy. This is our last verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. Amen. And it reads, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that's Jesus, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in, what, Christ Jesus, with eternal grace. Verse 11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Verse number 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. In verse number 13 says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Amen. We must believe. We must believe. In these last few minutes that I have, I'm going to tell you this. We must believe that God is able to do what he said he's going to do. We must believe that he can do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ever ask or think. He came that we might have life, and not just have life, but have it more abundantly. He wants your life today. He wants you to put your life in the hands of the Master. Put your life in the hands of the Master today so you can be a winner. Because like I said earlier, you're the walking dead without him. You're just walking. You think you're living, but you're really not living. A person is not living until you have the life. Until you have life in you. Well, I got life in me. I got my blood and my... I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the life. The life. He said in his word that he is the truth and the life. He is the life. As my former pastor used to say, he wants a life for life. Your wretched and undone life, he wants your life today. He died that you might have life. A very great person of God said on Facebook one day, they said his death certificate was our birth certificate. His death certificate was our birth certificate. What I mean by that is his death on the cross was our way to eternal life, was our way to life. Amen. We must understand that to be a winner in this life and in eternal life, you have to go where God wants us to go. You have to go. There is no other way around it. We're not tippy-toeing around it. Look, there's an old song that says, he's all over me, and he's keeping me alive. I know he is keeping me alive. I want to be a winner today. The only way for me to be a winner, see, I know I'm a winner in him because that song also says, he's on the right, he's on the left, he's in the front, he's in the back, he's over me, he's under me, and he's living down inside of me. The saying says he's too big to go around him. He's too tall to go over him. He's so low that you can't go underneath him. He's a loving God with his arms wide open, stretched out ready to receive you. And as long as you got life in your body, you have a chance. There will be no person that leaves this world without a chance to receive him in your life? Have you experienced him? Now, I know that many people might say in these last 5 minutes that I got, I'm going to say this. There are a lot of people that say that they know God. But my question to you is today, does he know you? That's a hard statement to make. You could say, you know him. You know up. Do you know him or do you know of him? There's a difference. The way you know him is knowing him in the pardon of your sins. The way you know of him is know what he can do for you. There is a big difference. There's a lot of people that know of him that think that they know him, but they really don't know him. When you know him in the pardon of your sins. You have that full joy in him. You don't have just happiness. You got joy. See, my pastor taught a Bible class on joy, and he said there's a difference between joy and happiness. If you've ever seen the movie The Pursuit of Happiness, and Will Smith was in that movie, it said the pursuit of happiness. Happiness is a thing that you pursue. Happiness is a thing that's not always there all the time. But joy, especially joy in Jesus, joy in him, that's eternal. The songwriter said, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Happiness is something that you can have happiness in anything. But when you can only find joy in Jesus Christ. So today I ask you, have you been to the water? Well, first, have you repented of your sins? See, there's a lot of preachers that say, well, if you just say the sinner's prayer and shake a preacher's hand, you're saved. No. You can listen to me all day. That does not make you saved. You can listen to Bishop Cook's show. You can listen to my show, and I could tell you, say the sinner's prayer, and you are good. You're saved. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you must repent. In Acts 2:38, it says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Have you been to the waters? Have you been baptized? Have your soul been converted? Do you feel all right? Do you feel all right? Well, I've been baptized. Have you been down in Jesus' name? We're going to talk. You know what? That just gave me another topic for next week. We're going to talk about the name next week, y'all. We're going to talk about the name of Jesus. Have you been down in his name? What the benefits of the name? The benefits of the name. There are benefits in him. But you got to take on his name to get the benefits. The benefits of the name. The benefits of the name. That's what we're going to talk about next week. The benefits of the name. In this last minute, I'm gonna say this, and we're getting ready to go home now. What I mean by the benefits of the name of Jesus, my father, my natural father, I have his last name. There are benefits that I get from his last name because I carry his last name. He's been in the military. There are military benefits that I get because I carry his last name, because I'm his son. There are benefits that I get. There are benefits that my mother gets. That's the same thing with Jesus, because you have to carry the name of Jesus. There are benefits that you get. There are benefits that the world don't get that you get because you're in his name. You're in his will. God bless you. I love you, each and every one of you. I pray that you have a very blessed week. My time is up, y'all. God bless you. I love you. And as it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. God bless you. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network. Thank you, Bishop Cook, for allowing us
Amen.
To come once again in Jesus' name. God bless you all. I love each and every one of you. And until next week, may heaven smile upon you. And if you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture of the church in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.